We're going to talk today about God's power to renew. Somebody say renew. Yeah, today God's going to renew some things. You are not you when you are tired and burnt out. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not you when you are tired and burned out. Y'all seen that Snickers commercial when people are hungry? You're not you when you're tired and burnt out. And today you're going to experience the power of God. Here's the thing about church. Miss Ann, it's good to see you. I pray that God touch you in a very special way. In the name of Jesus, touch her body from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. In the name, I pray the healing power of God flow and restore your health in Jesus' name. Here's the thing about church. Whenever people say, I'm going to take you to church, and you beg people for months to come to church, they finally come. Or when you come, there's going to be this word that's revolutionized your life. But there's a thing also when it comes to church, people have this thing with guilt that comes that, man, I'm ready to feel bad for all of my stuff as soon as I come to church, right? So I'm ready to feel bad for all these things that I've done, all these things that I've experienced. Or somebody's trying to fix me. So I'm not going to join this life group where you're going to try to fix my marriage, you're going to try to fix my manhood, my womanhood. So this thing that you always feel like somebody's trying to fix you, and from the pulpit, you always feel like I'm right, you're wrong. My life is perfect. I'm sitting here preaching, and everything is well in my life. Jesus walked out. So she with a baby, she didn't walk out. But you're saying, my life is perfect. She said, my life is not perfect. Here's the thing. I'm not here trying to fix you. I'm here because there's a better life for you. And when you feel like somebody's trying to fix you and there's this guilt that comes with it, you don't hear. So this morning, I want you to hear what I'm saying like this. Not like this, because we're ready to defend ourselves. Or like this, we're ready to question everything. Or, no, that ain't right. This ain't right. Or just with your arm folded. I want you to receive the word of God like this. I'm probably not going to say anything that you don't know. But what I'm going to tell you is going to be power behind what I tell you. And you're going to see renewal. Somebody say in the name of Jesus. All right. So here's what I'm going to talk about today. Renewal is only needed when you lack the strength and the drive to do what you should be doing. Renewal is needed when you lack the strength and the drive to do what you should be doing. There's nothing wrong with being a parent, but when you get tired and you hear mama 15 times, can a mama's wave to hand at me? And if I hear one more mama, nothing wrong with being a mama, but when you're tired, snappy. When you're tired, the trigger hand works good, the belt hand. Y'all all right in here? I want to preach until you get the power to do what it is that you're called to do. Why do we need renewal? We need renewal because we live in a busy world, and your mind is always going. Anybody got one of those minds that never shuts off? Am I the only one in here? I read some statistics. Do you know that you think 50 to 70,000 thoughts per day? Somebody said, that's a lot of thoughts. 2,300 thoughts per hour. You're going to be here for an hour and 15 minutes. Between the time you're here, you're going to have 2,500 thoughts that come through my head. Thoughts like, them shoes really go with that shirt? Who did her lashes? Does he really look happy over there? You look at him over there? Who did his edge up? Like, all these thoughts go through your head. Is he through preaching yet? Y'all right in here? The average adult makes 35,000 decisions per day. The average child makes 3,000. We're going to get you up to 4,000, all right? You think about this, the decisions you make. Do I wear the blue socks or no socks? Do I show my ankles or do I, what do I wear today? Do I take the steps or the elevator today to work? Do I speak to her or do I not speak to her? Is she going to be moody today or... Do I send an email? Do I send a text? Or do I talk? Thousands of decisions that you make over the course of a day, it burns you out. Life happens. It burns you out. Humans happen. You're sitting next to one. You are human. And as a human, we do dumb stuff. I didn't say, you know, dumb people. How many be honest and say we do some dumb stuff? We encounter people. We dream. But then our dreams get deflated. All these things happen. And do you know how critical we are as people? We size people up. We spend their money. I don't know why they bought that house. How are you going to spend somebody else's money? I wouldn't have bought that car. How many notes are you going to pay? Oh, I feel so ashamed. Before we had children, I remember going to restaurants and just see kids just fall out. I said, I wish my kid would do that. Until you go out and your kid get to acting up and you're afraid they're going to call DCS on you, so you just look at them. I wish you would. You see married couples just sitting there, they're not talking to each other. That'll never be us. We're going to hold hands and love each other for the rest of our life. And then you look up, y'all ain't spoke to each other in a whole day just looking at each other. I told you before, y'all walking down the hall like this, just looking at each other. Don't want to touch. Life happens. It does. It depletes you. Anybody ever been in a spot that you said, I never thought I would be here? It drains you. It gets the life out of you. And here's what happens. Over time, people become bitter. And I'm not trying to judge anybody here, but the reality is bitterness happens, and we deal with people because of burnout and bitterness sets in. And I got an exercise for you this week that I want you to do. And I'm going to tell you why. I want you to make a list of all the bitter people in your life. Take a screenshot it. And if you're bitter, you put your own self on the list. I want you to make a list of all the bitter people. Because you know what bitterness is? Proverbs 13:15 says this. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. All bitterness is that I thought something would be here and it's not here yet. Bitterness says, I thought I would be this further in life. I thought my life would look like this and it doesn't look like this. And when you become bitter, here's what happens. You don't mean it. And people take personal your attacks, but you blame others for your failures. If we wouldn't have switched coaches when I was junior in high school and they would have played me. So your coach is different between you and Michael Jordan right now. If I would never dated her and all these things like that. And then we project our bitterness onto people. And we take hits. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down all the bitter people in your life. And this is what you're going to do this week. You're going to pray for them. You're going to bless them. God, touch their lives. Let them experience your fullness. Father, let every dream they have come to pass. Father, I don't care what's going on. You give them hope. You give them joy. You give them peace. You give them everything you need. And then listen, if you're bitter, you're going to lay your hands on yourself. And say, I bless you this week. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Can y'all do that for me this week? Pray for all the bitter people in your life, and we're going to see God do some incredible things in the name of Jesus. I lost my signal here. If you can go to my next slide here. I'm going to give you some signs that you're dealing with burnout. Can I give you some signs that you're dealing with burnout? You become distant and apathetic. You used to be engaged, and you start to pull away. You become apathetic where you just kind of a blasé faire, just kind of attitude. Or you become critical about everything except for what you should be critical about. Your whole life is falling apart, but you critical everybody else around you. Y'all know anybody like that, right? Or you just don't care. When you don't care, you'll say anything to anybody. You just blurt out stuff. Things will just happen because you don't care. One of the biggest things to change is to get somebody to care. Here's a big thing when you burn out. You're easily irritated. Stuff that you would overlook gets on your nerves. Somebody could do something 2 days ago, and you text them and say, you know, that was the craziest thing you ever told me in my life. 2 days done gone by, and now you're dealing with that. Can y'all switch up mics to me? You're easily offended.
Offended.
You become negative. The random outburst, can you pull whatever that is, the vibrato, y'all say, I'm sounding like I'm in a concert here. And y'all know I can't sing. When you are burnt out, you have random outbursts of emotions. You're selfish because of self-preservation, and you say stuff like, I'm going to do me. There's nothing wrong with doing you, but here is the challenge. You're doing you because you're afraid nobody else is going to do you. You're afraid that nobody else is going to take care of you, so you move into this self-preservation mode. If you go to the next slide for me, here's what else happens when you suffer from burnout. You sleep, but you don't get rest. Anybody ever been there before? You try to lay down and you try to get rest, but you don't get any rest. You know what else happens? You have a loss of drive. You have a loss of passion. You try to care, but you don't care. Nothing happens. You question deep down what is real. You know what's real. You know God is real. You know God has moved. But you even begin to question, God, are you really going to move in my life? Anybody ever been there before? Is this relationship really real? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing in life? You become easily distracted by what will not change your situation, and you have frequent lines that include, if one more person asks me, if I see one more email, if I get one more text,
this is going to happen, and you're on the edge. You're like, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. Every day of your life, you're living on the edge, and people say, I don't know about them. One more thing, and they're going to snap. And here's what else happens whenever you're dealing with burnout. You're closed-minded, and you're not open to listen. Here's what happens when you burn out. All the motivation in the world will not get you. You say stuff like, I've been there. And people have told me the things I need to do, and I'm like, I don't want to hear no more. I have a dream speeches. Don't you try to motivate me and tell me I can do all things through Christ. I done read that scripture since I was a little boy. Don't you tell me Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I've been thinking, them same thoughts. When is it going to happen for me? The problem is not what you're being presented. The problem is the strength and the power is not there to do what it is, what God wants to do in your life. Here's what I want you to do. Can you take my, go to my next slide? Here's my next exercise for you. I want you to do this week. I want you to name a list of things that drain you. I want you to name a list of things that recharge you. Things that drain me. Why are you thinking about that? And then you're going to answer why. Things, you know what drains me? Debt. Why am I still paying for school and I don't even remember half of what I learned? When I get through with Sally, I will never talk to her again. Matter of fact, Sally broke up and she sent Navian. I don't even know who they were. I didn't even invite them into my life. You know what else drains me? Small-minded, negative people. You trying to do great things and they always got something negative to say. Here's what I learned. Winners focus on winning. Losers focus on winners. Winners focus on how can I get to my next place. Losers are always focusing on people. And some of us have people who are draining the life out of us. What recharges you? What recharges you is going to hear a great communicator, for me, a great communicator speak. Praise and worship recharges me. You know what else recharges me? Being able to go fishing. You got to catch something. Being beside water charges me. Going for a drive charges me. I want you to note this. If you're creative or you want ideas, what is the best time of the day that ideas hit you? What is your most productive time? I'm not trying to do a motivational speech, but I'm trying to get you renewed and restored so you can get to the place where God wants you to be. Somebody lift your hand and say, God, renew me. And then you got to ask yourself, why do these things drain me? For some of you on your list, you say, what drains you? Kids. You can't get rid of your kids. They're going to call them folks on you. They're going to lock you up. What is it about your kids that drain you? It could be that you don't have structure. It could be that there's certain things are missing. When there are things on your list that drain you that are your responsibility, you got to go back in and look, what do I need to do different? I want to tell you in here, before you quit your job, before you start cutting stuff off in your life, ask yourself this question. Why is this bothering me the way it bothers me? I got challenged one day. Somebody said, I don't like Jason. He ain't no good preacher. And boy, I was so mad at them. I said, boy, I want you to put something on Facebook so I can post it. And I want all these people to like it in their face. And then this guy asked me, why does it bother you that much if they do or don't like you? He said, people are going to talk your entire life. Why are you trying to win people over who ain't going to like you in the first place? Some of us are being drained because we're blaming the wrong thing instead of fixing ourselves. You're so worried about trying to change other people. And he said, God, I got to get myself together. Go to my next slide. I'm going to give you the results of a renewal, and then we're going to show you how to renew. And then I'm going to pray, and God's going to do some great things. You know what happens when you experience renewal? Economic revival. Spiritual renewal is always followed by economic revival. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you seek God, everything you need shows up. There's a flow of life and creativity that shows back up. You're driven, you're open, and you are sharp, and you are focused in Jesus' name. Are you ready to see how to renew? I'm not going to tell you probably nothing you don't know, but I'm going to just put some power behind so you go do these things. Here's the first thing. Next slide. You got to set your mind. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above. We have a thermostat in here. Have you guys ever noticed that it gets a little, y'all fan hard. During the summer, it gets a little hot in here. Do you know during the winter, we don't really run the heat. We run the air conditioner because this thing, we set it the best we could. But you have brick and old wood right there, and you have these big old windows and the sun beating in it, and it's hard to monitor the temperature in this building. Some of you are fanning hard right now. You know the reality is some of our lives are the same way. Your life is running on the course that you've set your mind to. Because whatever you believe about yourself is whatever you believe about people is what's going to happen. If you believe people are mean, if you believe people are rude, if you believe people are arrogant, guess what all you're going to see? mean, rude, and arrogant people. And while the person beside you believe that there's hope for humanity and they're going to move on in life, you have to set your mind to what God says you are, not how you feel, not what you used to be, and you insulate yourself by saying, God, I don't care what I see, I don't care what I feel, my life is going to look like your word. So you got to learn how to think and set your mind. Say, I'm not who I used to be. So I can't think that way. Some of you are new people, but when life happens, sister girl come back out. All that hood come back out. All that street come back out of you. And you say, I ain't forgot. But you got to remind yourself, I'm not her anymore. God will raise you up. Some of you in here, you know what you used to be. You know what God brought you from. And I want to pass the church with a cinnamon bun from the strip club can come in here. And you may remember. But now she evangelist Cindy. She's in here ready to preach the word of God. She can't think like cinnamon bun. She got to think like. Some of you in here today, you are a new creature. But your mind is back in the gutter. And God said, I need your mind to catch up with where you are. And I need you to renew your mind because you're not there anymore. Watch this. Do you know why so many of us are looking over our shoulder waiting for the world to fall apart? Because you know all the dirt you did is this person. So this person is sitting right here looking at this. And God said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have come new. I'm not worried about my past because I'm a new creature. And when it comes, it's not going to find me because I'm not that person anymore. Quit looking over your shoulder. God's got a new day waiting on you. So you got to set your mind. The next thing is this, to be renewed. This is a no-brainer, but most of us don't do it. Sleep. Look at your neighbor and say, when's the last time you had a good night's sleep? I ain't talking about waking up thinking about stuff. Waking up posting on Facebook because you can't sleep at 4 a.m, playing your little games on your phone. Been there, done that. God wants us to sleep. I read the scripture this week, these two scriptures that changed the way I think about when my day gets started. Genesis 1 and 5 is on the screen, says this. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and the morning was the first day. What did he say first? Evening and the morning was the first day. Watch this again. Genesis 1 and 8, and God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and the morning, the second day. Now we know, we say our day starts with coffee when we wake up in the morning. But the reality is the rest for your day starts when you go to sleep at night. Because if you don't get a good night's sleep, oh Jesus, 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 Jesus. Yeah, when you don't get a good night's sleep, you're cranky. When you don't get a good night's sleep, your mind is not sharp. You got to prepare yourself to sleep. Scripture I read, Psalm 4 and 8 says, I will lay down in peace. You know why many of us can't sleep? Because we're not in peace. You got your mind thinking about all kinds of stuff. You're in turmoil. You got guilt on your chest. You got all these things you're dealing with. And God said, listen, I need you to eulogize your past and all these things you're dealing with. And I need you to pray for sweet sleep. I don't know who it is in here tonight, but you ain't slept well in a long time. But I'm going to declare that tonight you're going to have some of the best sleep of your life. I'm declaring tonight you're going to wake, when in the morning when you wake up, you're going to think Jesus came back. Because you're going to think you in heaven, you're like, look, what time is it? You're going to wake up so refreshed, you're going to feel like what in the world is going on. Anybody that needs sleep in here tonight, I dare to lift your hands. And I declare in the name of Jesus, you will sleep through the entire night. You will not have nightmares. You will not have night sweats. You will not be tormented in your sleep. You will not struggle with things. I declare in the name of Jesus a full night of sleep. I declare that you will have peace. I declare you will wake up restored. I even declare that while you're asleep, your body will be healed. I declare that while you're asleep, God will send angels of mercy to wherever he needs in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I'm going to sleep tonight in the name of Jesus. You're going to sleep. Because while you're sleeping is your chance for your body to restore itself. It's your chance for your body to renew itself. So you're going to sleep tonight. The next thing you're going to need is this. Serenity. Psalms 23, one of the first scriptures that I memorized. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Anybody love that in here? It said he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. Everybody in here needs green pastures. You need still waters, and you need a path of righteousness. You need a green pasture where there is a place of plenty so that you can feast on whatever God wants. I don't care what's going on around you. You're going to lay down in a green pasture. I don't care who's not hiring in this economy. You're going to have a job. I don't care what happens if gas is $10.98. A gallon. You're gonna go to work and not have any sweat in the name of Jesus, because you're gonna lay down in green pasture. Y'all right in here? You need still waters. You need a place that you can go. Sheep didn't drink from waters that were moving fast. I took a job once that had a big learning curve. And the guy asked me, my boss said, how are you doing? I said, I feel like I'm drinking water from a fire hydrant. You know how fast water comes out of a fire hydrant. God said, when you drink in life, when you go to a place of serenity, he says, it's going to be still waters. He said, I know you got fears. I know you got anxiety, but there's a place. Anybody here that water calms you? I don't know what it is, but it's just something about being around water to me. But you got to find your place of serenity. Then he said, passive righteousness. Passive righteousness is like this. Do you hate going to a place where you always lose signal, particularly when you want to show somebody a picture or something on your phone? And it's like, it would just not happen right now. I hate wanting to make a phone call and I don't have a connection. God said a path of righteousness is a path of right standing. He said, wherever you are in my will, you'll always have a connection with me, and I'll give you everything that you need. But here's my challenge to you. Where's your place of serenity? Where is your place that you can go and think? Where is your place that you can go and unplug and recharge? For some of you, that place is the gym. For some of you, it's walking. For some of you, it's driving, just going for a drive. For some of you, it's cooking. For some of you, maybe cleaning your house. It's different places for all of us, but all of us need a place of serenity where you can just have a green pasture, still waters, and you can have a path of righteousness so you can recharge. I want to challenge every person in here to find you a place of serenity. One of these old days. Not when this life is over, when I fly away, but one of these old days in the here and now. I'm believing God that we're going to have a lake house. Barbara ain't going to have no bugs there. We're going to have mosquito traps and all this stuff around here. And we're going to sit out on the balcony. And I'm going to go fish. And we're going to do all these things. Why? Because I need a place to recharge. I'm going to write books there. We're going to do all these amazing things there. Yes. In the name of Jesus. But everybody needs a place of serenity, a place that you can dream. Find you that place of serenity. The next thing you need to recharge is this. You need to serve. Wait a minute. You're telling me to serve and I'm burnt out. Yes, I am. I'm telling you to serve God and not yourself. Because when you get burnt out, you start serving yourself, and there is no power in your own agenda. I'm asking you to connect to the power of God. Isaiah 40 and 31 says this, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. If I was in an old Baptist or a Pentecostal church, I'd say they'd mount up like wings, like eagles. Run and not get weary. Look at your neighbor and say, walk and not faint. Say, this is a no pass out zone. In the name of Jesus. But I ain't going to do all that this morning. It says, they that wait on the Lord. You know what waiting on the Lord looks like? Anybody here work in the restaurant industry, you ever wait on tables? It's that. How can I serve you today? How can I help today? When you have an attitude to help and to serve, your life changes. It's not about just serving people. It's about, God, what do you want me to do today? What's on your agenda for me today? Who can I share Jesus with? Who am I supposed to be a light to? While you're worried about your business, here's what God told me years ago. Jason, you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. That while you're handling God's business, everything you worried about, because when you serve, it takes you to a place of humility. Because here's what happens. When we don't serve God, we try to play the role of God. And we try to fix everything. And look at your neighbor and say, you are not God. And God is not human. Half of us in here think the world's going to fall apart if something happens to you. Quit your job tomorrow. Don't do that. Quit your job tomorrow. They'll post it next week and have somebody hired in 2 weeks, because life goes on. I think one of the greatest singers in the world, or performers in the world, was Michael Jackson. Music didn't stop when Michael died. They keep coming out all the time. Life is not going to fall apart. It's going to go on whether you're there or not. But since God has allowed you to participate, be the best you by serving. God, what do you want me to do? God, you got me on this job. You got me leading people. You gave me this dream. I'm going to do it and leave the results to you, because I'm going to serve you. And it says, they that wait on the Lord, serve, shall renew their strength. You know my last slide? What do you do with a magazine? And I grew up, our connection to the world was Ebony and Jet. Did anybody have, you go and them little bitty magazines, Jet, for years? Just pop. My parents still got them. 2006, they still got Ebony and Jet still laying right there. And every year at the end of the year, what do you do with that magazine? You got to renew that subscription. Here's the challenge. It says they shall renew their strength. The challenge of many of us, you didn't renew your strength. You renewed your bitterness. You renewed your offense. You renewed your negativity. And God said, I need you to unsubscribe to some things, and I need you to subscribe to my strength, because strength is always available. And it said, when you subscribe to my strength, I'm through. But here's what's going to happen. It says you would mount up with wings like eagles. You know what that means? And that's just, he's given a metaphor here. He says that you're going to soar. You're going to have an overcoming spirit. The renewal spirit is going to cause you to be a victor. He said you shall run. That word running is not just a fast pace. It means you're going to run your course. Whatever destiny that God has for your life. And it says you shall walk and not faint. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. He's speaking to your faith. So the whole thing is a lifestyle of strength. And a lifestyle of strength looks like this. Anybody ever rode Greyhound bus in here before? Lord, when I was in school, I rode a Greyhound bus from Chattanooga to from Atlanta to Chattanooga. Lord, everybody and their mama was at the bus station. There was crazy people in there. Y'all been to the bus station before? This man was in there. He broke up a fight with himself. He flinched and jumped back. And I'm like, who is he? He was fighting himself and then grabbed himself by the thing and said, calm down. I'm like, man, this is crazy. I never seen stuff like this in my life. I'm like, well, my mama, we didn't have cell phones back then. I said, Jesus, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I held my little bag like that woman on Adventures in Babysitting. I was scared. I got on the bus. Atlanta traffic is crazy. Going to take us about an hour and a half. We were stuck in one spot for an hour. How to do it? Greyhound bus, you're going and you're driving and you stop everywhere. All kind of madness going on. That's Greyhound bus. A couple months later, I had the opportunity to fly to friendly skies. Anybody know that flying is a wonderful thing? Boy, I was sitting up there. I crossed my legs. Like, I ain't crossed nobody's legs. I didn't relax on that Greyhound bus. I was on edge with my bag just like this. You want to check it up under the bus? No, sir. I'm going to hold it just like this. On the airplane, I got my legs crossed. Got peanuts I'm eating. Got me a Dr. Pepper. They bringing, how can we help you today? Look out. Just clouds look like pillows. You know, you feel like somebody when you're flying. And when I was in the air, the Lord, he reminded me of this. He said, Jason, let me show you what renewing your strength looks like. He said, Jason, how did it feel flying versus riding the bus? I said, oh, it felt good. He said, what did you see while you were riding the bus? I said, I saw traffic jams. I said, all right. He said, all right. He said, what else do you see? I said, you know what? I saw street lines in the road where we had to stay in our lane. He said, what else did you see? I said, I saw speed limits that said you couldn't go above this thing. He said, Jason, can I ask you a question? How many speed limit signs did you see in the air? I said, none. He said, how many painted lines did you see in the skyways? I said, absolutely none. He said, how many traffic jams did you see in the friendly skies? And I said, absolutely none. He said, faith works the same way. Where you trying to go through stuff, I'm going to cause you to rise above it. Where there is no speed limits. You're not worried about who's going to get in your lane. Some of you are fighting with some people that God said, I need you to rise above it. In the name of Jesus. He said, it felt good up there by yourself, didn't it? I said, yeah, it sure felt good by myself. He said, here is the challenge about faith. Here is the reason why most people stay grounded. He said, because pilots don't fly by what they see. No pilot sits and looks out the window and they fly. Let me turn. And a pilot has a destination on that little black box that you see they recover. And it commits to the path before it ever takes off. And a pilot flies by staying connected to tower. So his directions are not coming by what it sees. His directions are coming by what it hears. And most of us are always moved by what we see and what we feel. But God said when you renew your strength, you're going to rise above. And you're going to be moved by what you hear, by what God is saying. Here's the challenge. I want you to take off. You're going to renew this morning. But you can't be moved by what you see. It's a scary thing up there. You can't just get tired up in the sky and just say, we're going to land right here. No, you got to stay committed to the journey. God said it's scary. It's above all these things. But it's going to be worth it. And there's some of you in this place that God said, I'm ready for you to take off. You're tired of traffic jams. You're tired of limits. You're tired of being put in a box. God said your faith is going to cause you to take off. But the way to do it is not by what you see and what you feel. It's influenced by what you hear. And when a pilot flies, they ask this question. When they take off and when they land, they say, are you committed? And they commit to the tower that we're going to fly this path. And before they land, they say, we're committed to our descent. God wants your commitment. And when you serve God, you have strength beyond what you never imagined in the name of Jesus. Stand to your feet all over the building. Somebody say, I'm about to fly above. I want to pray for this. I want to pray in here. They're going to come and sing. But I believe this morning God's going to renew some people in here. If you find yourself, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you find yourself in a place where you're irritable and things that you used to let go, now you're holding on to. You're saying, I need strength. I know I'm supposed to be doing these things. But I'm not, I'm trying to care and I can't. And I feel like there's always something holding me back. I feel bitterness creeping inside of me. I feel the weight of criticism just weighing on me. And God, I need you to renew me this morning. And also as well, as I'm praying for that, if there's anybody in here that needs God to renew your health, you need to be healed in any area of your life. I don't care what it is. God can heal it. I'm believing God that by faith, something miraculous is about to happen this morning. If you need renewal in any part of your life and this message connected with you, I want you to do me a favor. Normally, I'd ask you to stay at your seat, but I want to connect with your faith this morning. Don't you worry about who's looking at you. You're saying, God, I need you to renew me in the areas that I'm tired, in the areas that I'm burnt out, or you need healing. I want you to come from wherever you are all over the building. I want to connect with your faith. Just come from wherever you are. Just come. In the name of Jesus, I need to be renewed. Who are you? Come. Sorry, you don't have to wait on somebody else. Just come.
You give life. You are love. You bring life.
If you find yourself being overly critical of somebody else's success, you're judging why they should be there versus where you are. It could be a good sign you're suffering from a burnout. If the drive to do certain things is not in your life anymore like it should. He said, I want my drive renewed. I want my marriage renewed. I want my hope. God, before life happened, I want to be renewed to that place. I want you to do me a favor. At this altar, would you slip your hands up? Something's going to happen to you that's going to change your life in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm going to pray and renewal is about to happen. The things that we should be doing and the strength to do them is going to return. The drive and the passion to do them is going to do there. Before we encounter whatever, Father, we honor you and bless you now. I want you to do me a favor at your seat. I want you to begin to worship God. I want you to begin to ask God to renew you. If you want to go through your list and figure out what drains you, what recharges you, but I want you to experience the power of God. Come on, let's open our mouth and begin to worship God right now. Come on, let's worship God all over the house. Come on, touch right now.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.